Today we have the great honor of being able to celebrate the solemnity of Saint Michael the Archangel. Saint Michael, as we proclaim him in our prayers, is the Prince of the Heavenly Host. He is the one who is the highest angel now in heaven. It is something that we need to consider because as we look at the gospel reading, our Lord tells us that unless we become like little children, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we can look at it and say, God doesn't choose the ones one might expect. So too with the angels. There are two ways of being able to look at this. Saint Michael is known as the Archangel Michael. There are two ways, again, of understanding that. The word arche in Greek means a leader. So he is one of the leading angels. At this point, we can certainly say he is one of those seven spirits around the throne of God who are worshiping him constantly. At the same time, there are some who will look at it and say, well, the archangels are the second lowest of the nine choirs of angels, the seraphim being the highest, angels being the lowest, and archangels being the second lowest. And so there are some who will say, well, Saint Michael, because he is called an archangel, was taken from the second lowest choir of angels, and he has been made one of the leading angels, simply because he led the charge against the rebellion of Satan and all of his fallen angels. His name means who is like unto God. And that's exactly the point that we have to recognize with who he is, with what he has done, and then as we look forward to what he is going to do. Because this becomes incredibly important for us in a situation like the one in which we're living. So who is like unto God? That became the great battle cry. Satan and those angels who would follow him had rejected God. Non serviam is the term that is always used with regard to Satan. I will not serve. What were they being asked to serve? They were being asked to serve the divinity and the humanity of Christ. They were asked to serve the woman who would be the queen of the holy angels. And they said no. They would not accept that God would become lower than the angels. They could not accept that a human woman would be raised to be higher than the angels. And they rejected that. But as Saint Michael and the other angels looked at God's plan, even though in their superior angelic intellects, it didn't necessarily make sense, they said, who is like unto God? If this is God's plan, we accept it, even if we don't understand it. How is it possible that God is going to become a tiny human baby? God, who created everything, is going to become a creature. How is this possible? How is God, who is infinitely above everything, going to become lower than an angel and take on a human nature? It didn't make sense, logically. How can a human woman who is lower than the angels by nature be elevated to be higher than the angels and in fact become the very queen of the holy angels? It didn't make sense logically. God wasn't asking for logic. God was asking for an act of faith. This was the test of the angels. They had one chance. And one chance only. Because remember, when an angel makes a decision, he makes a decision with his entire being. An angel cannot change his mind. And so the angels, when they were created outside of heaven. Just like us, they had to be tested to see whether they were going to do the will of God or not. And so this was the test. Long before humanity would even be created, God showed them what was going to happen. He was going to create his human creatures. They would be disobedient and fall. and he would send his own son to reconcile them to himself. His own son, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, was going to be born of a human woman. Could they accept this? Would they be obedient? Would they be faithful? Satan said no. And Saint Michael, using his name, said simply, "Who is like unto God?" Even if it doesn't seem to make sense, I will accept, because this is God's will. That is an important thing for all of us to look at, because there are things that God is asking of us that don't always make logical sense to us. Can we accept what God has revealed? Can we accept God's will in our own lives? So we have the objective aspect of it. We also have the subjective aspect. God doesn't lead us usually according to the idea that we have in our mind of how we ought to be led. We think that the best way to make me a saint would be to do it this way. Usually that means it should be really easy. You should load me up with all kinds of stuff, and I should just be able to sit back and pray and just be a saint. Right. That's not how God usually works. And so the difficulties and the struggles and the problems that come up in our lives, are we willing to say, "Who is like unto God? I will accept because this is God's will for me. This is the best way somehow, even though I don't understand it, this is the best way for me to become a saint." And if those people who would look at it and say, because Saint Michael is an archangel, and therefore the second lowest choir of angels, and now he's been elevated, look at us. Among all of humanity, who of us is going to say, "I was a great one. God picked me because I was so wonderful"? No. He said, "Unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." That's whom God has chosen. But we keep trying to push forward and trying somehow to make ourselves great. Can we accept God's will? Can we accept his plan and say, "Become small"? Remember when St. Peter asked the question, Jesus simply said, "The greatest among you is the one who serves the rest." Not the one who is served, but the one who serves. Because Jesus himself, who is God, said, "I came into this world not to be served, but to serve, to give my life as a ransom for the many." And so if he's asking us to do something similar, are we willing to accept? It's not what is typical for our way of human thinking, but neither is the cross. How could God do such a thing? How could God love me so much that he would do this? Who is like unto God? So we look at it in all of these different ways, and we begin to see that there's a pattern here. That the way that God is going to work in our lives is that he is going to ask faith. He is going to ask us to say yes to things that we don't necessarily understand. That in the midst of struggles and difficulties, that we are going to say yes. Can we do that? Now we also have to remember what St. Paul reminds us, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities and powers and all these different angelic groups that are in the heavenly places. There is a spiritual battle that is going on. And your guardian angel is, of course, entirely taken up with that spiritual battle to protect you. And consequently, for the most part, you and I don't even recognize that it's happening. But again, when we look at Saint Michael, go back to the book of the prophet Daniel. It's in the 10th chapter of Daniel's book that Saint Michael is spoken of. Daniel was praying, trying to understand, and God sent an angel to be able to enlighten him. And it says, the prince of Persia stood in my way for 21 days. In other words, a fallen angel. And the only one who came to help me was Michael, the prince. And so we have Michael right there. And then two chapters later, Michael's name is mentioned again, of what's going to happen in the end times, when things are worse than they have ever been in the history of the world. It is then that Michael is going to come to the people of God. So we see how God is going to work, because when we look at the very, well, the last book in the Bible, but talking about what happened at the beginning, because again, remember, when we're talking about the angels, we're talking about the first day of creation. Remember, first day of creation, God separated light from darkness. The light and darkness are the angels who said yes to God and the angels who said no to God. It was before physical creation began. It was 3 days before God made the sun, so there was no light in the sense of the way we think of light. So we're talking about truth and falsehood. We're talking about a yes to God or a no to God. If we put it back into the way we looked at it already, we are talking about Michael, who is like unto God, or non serviam, I will not serve. It's those two options. That's what happened at the very beginning of creation before God made anything else. And we have an insight into that in the book of Revelation. We see about the battle between Michael and Satan, and how Michael and his forces overcame the forces of evil and cast them out. That's exactly what we're going to be dealing with on the last day. So as there is this battle at the beginning, so there is the battle at the end. And of course, the battle rages all the way through. And ultimately, what's the battle for? Human souls. The initial one was about angels. They've made their choice now. There is no more creation of new angels. The angels who chose against God, as I said, cannot change their mind. The angels who chose for God, of course, wouldn't want to change their mind. So they are set. That battle is already done. Now the battle is for you and for me, for our children and our grandchildren. That's what this is all about. Satan, still refusing to serve God, wants to keep you and me from serving God. He wants to take us down. He wants, as misery loves company, that's where he wants us, with him for the rest of eternity. And the holy angels are fighting against that. And they are fighting for us and battling on a level that we are not capable of battling. But yet, that battle comes down to earth. We see that again. You look in the book of Revelation when it talks about our Blessed Lady and how Satan came after her. But then it says, when he couldn't get to her, he turned against all of her offspring. Spiritually speaking, that's you and me. That's what he's after. And so while our guardian angels and all the good angels are certainly taking up the battle, God also allows that that battle will come down to us. We each have a choice to make. And unlike the angels, it's not just one choice and we're set for life. On one hand, that would be kind of nice if we chose the right way, but all of us need to simply look at our own lives and look at how many times we haven't chosen the right way, and thanks be to God we didn't just have one choice, or most of us probably wouldn't be headed the right direction. So now we have to make a choice again and again and again and again. And with each choice that we make, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, so that we are able to make it more and more with our whole being. So that on that last day of our lives, we will be able to say yes to God again. If on the other hand, we keep saying no to God, chances are when the end of our life comes, we're gonna say no once again, because that's what we're accustomed to. That's where the strength is. So we need to strengthen ourselves in saying yes. We need to continue to say, who is like unto God? Because God's way is perfect. But it doesn't necessarily make sense to our very, very limited and very weak human minds. And so we have to accept. We have to be able to say, who is like unto God? But we have that point from the prophet Daniel that when times get really, really bad, that's when Saint Michael is going to appear to be able to save the people of God. So once again, we see that battle that is raging already on the spiritual level is going to come down to the natural level for us. And we're going to be part of it. Every one of us is in our day-to-day life. But as things continue to get worse, we're going to be right in the middle of it. It is a great blessing. It's not going to be fun, but it is a great blessing. Now, we look at Scripture and it talks about those things at the end of the world, and let me be clear, this is not the end of the world. The things regarding the end of the world have not yet happened. There's no indication they're about to happen. I think it's the end of an era. It is going to be a foreshadowing of what will happen at the end of the world. And the glorious thing, when you read the book of Revelation, the angels are on every single page. When it comes to these times, the angels are going to be very, very active. So your own guardian angel plus all the others that are going to be there to help us. But again, we have to make that choice. And so just as it was with the angels at the beginning, our battle cry is about the same one. Who is like unto God? God chooses the ones that the world would not. God chooses the lowborn and the weak and so on. That's us. Who is like unto God? Wouldn't it make more sense that God would choose the great ones for himself, that he would choose the strong ones, that he would choose the ones that the world thinks are so wonderful? Yeah, that's not the way he did it. Thanks be to him, or you and I wouldn't be here today, because we wouldn't be among the ones that he chose. And so how grateful we need to be, and then what is our response? God chose you. Now it's your turn to choose God. Said a minute ago, it'd be nice if it was just a one-time shot. We could say, yep, I choose God. Good enough. It's a done deal. Yeah, we all know how that goes. Little temptation comes along and we say, well, I'll choose against God for a minute. Yeah, and then another minute and another minute and another minute, and pretty soon days and weeks and months and years go on and we continue to say no to God. We need to turn it the other way. The temptations are there to make us strong. Yes, if we give in to them, we become weaker. But if we fight against them, we become stronger. As Satan and his minions come against us, we've got the angels to help us so that we can say yes to God in the midst of those battles. So yes, our temptations on the physical level, but there are temptations on the spiritual level. Temptations against faith, temptations against hope, temptations against charity. These are the things that are the most important. That's what Satan's going after. He can weaken us physically, he can weaken us spiritually, and that's his game. But we don't have to play his game, because we know who our Lord is. We know what he has done for us, and we know that he is allowing us to be part of this mystery. Don't try and understand it. Don't try and figure it out. Because the more you try, the less you're going to understand, and the more convoluted it's going to seem in your own mind. Just learn from Saint Michael and say, who is like unto God? If this is God's will for me, then I accept. If this is God's will for me, then praise him. If this is God's will for me, then who is like unto God? I choose it, I embrace it, I want to live it, and with Michael and the holy angels, I want to be able through that to enter into heaven and glorify God for eternity.